Good day, friend. I'll make a deal with you. I'll preach quick if you'll listen quick. We've got a lot to cover here on the Shepherd's Pulpit. We're finishing up chapter number 5, verses 1 through 10, that section on living with one eye on eternity. We've made ourselves a little checklist on preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. Think about something with me and I'll get right to the list. Wouldn't you think that you ought to prepare for a certain big meeting? Some big appointment? Have everything right in order. Be ready for the meeting. Well, there's an inevitable meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be ready for the meeting. And we're making a checklist. First of all, we talked about forgiveness. We need to forgive one another. Second of all, we talked about our finances. That generosity will be examined in that day. Our hospitality will be examined. Our prayer life will be looked at. And also, next, let's read Colossians 3 and verse 23. Next on the checklist is our faithfulness to our vocation. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. What do you do for a living? Where do you clock in at? There's nothing lesser about that. That's God's work just as much as anything else. You'll receive a reward according to your service. Why? Because you serve the Lord Christ, verse 24 of Colossians 3. We need to check our vocation. Be honest. Have integrity. A good attitude. Punctual. Doing 110%. Why? Not because you serve the boss, but you serve the boss in heaven, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That'll be revealed at the judgment. How about this one? Think about this one. Loving the unlovable? God says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. You know what, friend? If anything is Christian, more Christian, shows Christian, it's loving your enemies. For great will be your reward in heaven. Your reward shall be great, and you'll be called the children of the highest. Meaning by that, one day, you're going to get rewarded greatly if you love those that don't love you back. If you love those that hate you and curse you. Oh my. Let's listen to this next one on the checklist that we've made. Investing our lives into people. Paul, under inspiration of God, says, I've planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Sure. One day we're going to stand before our investment in the lives of people. I go through things all the time as a pastor and think, I don't know if I'll ever see them again. For whatever reason. Don't know how long my sphere of influence will be upon those people. I don't know if I'll talk to one. Some people, I don't know if I'll talk to them one time, preach to them one time, or I'll get to preach to them hundreds, if not thousands of times. Some people at my church where I pastor, I've preached to them probably almost 1,000 times. Now that's incredible. Well, probably not quite 1,000. That might be a stretch, but over 100 times for sure. Think about it. 50 weeks in a year, 150 times in a year. If you do Sunday school, that's 200 times. Think of it. And then some people, I speak to them one time. But all that matters is while we have a sphere of influence, we need to make sure we're giving our best and investing in people, because that'll all be brought to judgment. Let's do it for the Lord. You know, you can't change people. You can't sway people. God is in the business of convicting and changing. We can't. Trust the Lord with the results. Do it for Him. We'll be rewarded also for preaching the gospel willingly, for nothing but God's approval, not for filthy lucre. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For this I do willingly. We're going to give an account for preaching the gospel when nobody saw us, for preaching the gospel, not for church growth necessarily, not to grow your Sunday school class, but just because we need, and we know we need to get the gospel to people who need to be saved. Just because we know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, just because we love Jesus and want to be obedient to His command, we preach the gospel willingly. Do you think we'll stand before the Lord at the Bema seat and give an account of what we did with His message? The glorious gospel of Jesus? I think that we will. I think we'll give an account of our acceptance of sufferings and how we responded during suffering and when suffering came, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See if we receive it as more precious than gold, that trial. When we get before the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be praise, honor, and glory at His appearing. But when a trial comes into your life and you draw away from it, and you don't want it, and you don't accept it by faith, then we're not going to have that trial make our faith valuable and strong. What's another checklist? Another checkpoint on the checklist for preparing for eternity. You know, I jotted this one down. Our words will be judged. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Woo! Dr. Seitler said, "God give us two ears and one mouth on purpose, so we listen twice as much as we talk." I remember him going on and saying, "So don't use your ears for garbage cans." Got to be careful what you listen to as well as what you talk. Because if you use those ears, which you got two of them, listening to garbage, eventually everything settled down in your heart and it'll come out your mouth. Because every idle word will be into judgment, be brought into judgment. Every word. That's sobering, isn't it? And last of all, on the checklist, our motives will be scrutinized. "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have his praise of God." Everything will be scrutinized, our motive. We ought to ask ourselves, and this is not the time, but we ought to ask ourselves, why? We're not going into this deep right now, but ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I working the way I'm working? Why am I serving? Why am I preaching? Why am I singing? Why am I teaching? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it for Jesus? That all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, David said. That's why he did what he did. That's why he fought Goliath. I want all the earth to know there's a God in Israel. That's a pure motive. Not for self, not for recognition, not for popularity, not for gain or profit, but I do it willingly for the glory of God. Now that motive will be pure and will not get burnt up at the Bema seat. We all have an inevitable meeting with God. All of us. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of things done in the body. May we live with one eye on eternity.